Welcome to the Bold Brave Women Story Hour, where we share with you the heroic and intimate journeys of everyday women to inspire and accompany you as you boldly face your day and bravely make a difference in the world. And here's your hostess, master relationship coach, best-selling author, award-winning international speaker, and founder of the Bold Brave Women Club, Mei Vu.
Welcome, welcome to another powerful episode of Bold Brave Women with Mei Vu, your host. I am so delighted to get to do these amazing interviews to bring to you stories of bold and brave women around the world that are up to big things or have survived and gone through terrible things, and they live to tell. There's even a t-shirt for it, Bold Brave Woman. And through listening and talking about our stories, we get deeper insights into ourselves, we get more understanding into the human journeys, and what I hope is more compassion and patience for our process. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I know someone or hear about someone who's great, who's shiny, who's out there doing big things, I think they're great, shiny, and big. I don't see the vulnerable side of them. I don't see the part of them that wake up at 3 a.m., you know, worrying about blah, blah, blah that they haven't done, or worrying about their children or whatever it is that wakes us up at 3 a.m. But those are the moments where it really reminds me to be in touch with the other side of being bold and brave. And to me, the other side of being bold and brave is our vulnerable side, our fearful side, our worry and anxiety and anxious side about life, about ourselves. We question ourselves. We question our decisions. We cry. We mourn. All of that stuff we tend to do in our privacy because, you know, we think that that's ugly, that's unacceptable. But I believe that both sides, the bold, brave, and shiny part about us and our vulnerable stuff is what makes us human and what makes us so inspiring. Today, I have with me a really dear friend of mine. She was, is a community leader in my area, and I got the pleasure of having several intimate conversations with her, and our friendship has grown over the years. And now she's moved away to Chicago, but she promised that she's still here. So I'm going to hold her to that promise. But her name is Sahar, and Sahar Nafal, and she's an amazing woman who has done so much in our community in building her business and building her business through building communities. And she's such a leader in her own right. She's bold, brave, badass. And at the same time, you know, she's also have gone through a very vulnerable process with herself, from being tough and strong Palestinian woman, you know, to now a really soft, sexy, sensuous woman who cry easily now. So I'm so excited to have her on our Bold Brave Woman podcast today so that she can share her journey with us. Welcome, Sahar.
Well, thank you so much, Mei Vu. Love the interview. I so appreciate you including me in this, and looking forward to a fun 45 minutes.
Yay!
Yay!
So let's start with, you know, you're a community builder, an expert, a leader. You're well respected in our community in the Bay Area. And for those of you who know anything about the Bay Area, it's saturated with lots of powerful communities and everything, and yet you've been able to build a powerful community where people feel a sense of belonging and all that stuff. So you know, let's start there. Tell us about you.
Thank you very much. So I always love to start with where the bright side of life has birthed and where it birthed and where the space in which it birthed from within me. as I love the topic, like bold, brave women. And it is so true that us women, I feel, find their boldness and their braveness after they've gone through a transition. Often we get in a place, whether it's a marriage or a job or any place, and we get stuck and we stay on that path of feeling comfortable and everything is okay. And when the transition happens, boom, all of a sudden it awakes us and it wants us to do something more. And my life journey is exactly that. It started with this past 10 years as a leader of the Bright Side of Life Women's Community here in the San Francisco Bay Area. It started because of a transition that I went through where I thought of, okay, it's time for me to go to that next calling. And I love the topic of this call. I believe there's more than one calling for all of us. And I believe also that sometimes we get options and opportunities to choose that next calling. And I want to start by sharing the calling that happened 10 years ago, the Bright Side of Life, in my family room. And it all started again from going through a divorce, from a relationship that I knew no longer belonged to me or my girls. I made a decision to leave that marriage. And with that came all the adversities of going through the divorce court and the child support court and foreclosure, bankruptcy, IRS auditing. I kid you not, Mavu, everything that you could ever imagine happened within the span of 2 to 3 years. But here's the good news.
I have to slow down on the good news. Good news can wait.
Yes.
We know that there's a happy ending, but I want to slow that down for a second. It's like, so you went through a divorce, and not just a divorce, but a divorce that involved going to court and fighting for something.
Yes.
And then, so slow that list down again and give us a little more experience of what you had to go through.
Sure. And what I was getting to, the good news, is not really that I'm doing better now, but the good news is that during the dark side of life, what I called it, I was very conscious and aware of me going through the dark side. You understand? So that's what I was wanted to say to you. Oh my gosh.
So
what
were you going through? Yeah.
I was going through fear of letting go of all the things, you know, that we acquired throughout our marriage. You know, the multi-million dollar car, I mean, the home and the, you know, vacation home and the boats and the cars and everything that's materialistic. It was really fearful for me to let go and start from zero. It was really dark and really scary times for me. And I knew that I had to be responsible for my girls and raising my girls on my own. Unfortunately, he completely withdrew and didn't want to do anything to do with me and the girls for a long time. It was scary because I didn't see the future. It was very dark. I didn't see what is the next step. You know, I didn't know who's going to support me. My family decided to completely disown me in a way where they were there, they were listening, but they couldn't believe what was happening because they thought the material world was more important than my health and my mental health, right, for me and the girls, because they didn't expect this. And, you know, I know you or any other woman out there, you go through and you're in an abusive mental, emotional, some physical abusive relationship, and you become more like automatic. Like, and because there's a lot of material wealth, you think we're conditioned in this society that if we have the things and the money, that everything else is going to be okay. In fact, I called myself Sarah for the last 4 years before I made a decision to leave that relationship, because I didn't know who Sahar was. And I added an H at the end of Sarah, S-A-R-A-H. I use subconsciously the same letters. Sahar is S-A-H-A-R, right?
Yeah.
Because I didn't know who Sahar was. I didn't know what my vision, I didn't know what my dreams, I didn't know what's next. But for some reason, God gave me the grace to be in it and feel the pain and endure it, if that makes sense. Like, I was aware of it, and there was a part of me, my soul knew that this journey has to happen in order for me to go to that next phase of my calling.
Yeah.
It was very profound. Well, very, very profound.
It is. Yeah. I totally can relate, because when my marriage fell apart, and my favorite song at that time that kept me going was 100 Tears Away by Vonda Shepherd. And at that time, this, you know, the show Ally McBeal was out. And I don't know if you ever seen that show where there's a piano player and she always sings the appropriate song for each episode kind of thing. And that was Vonda Shepherd. And one of the songs was Everything That You Want, Everything That You Long For, you know, is just 100 tears away. And that's what kept me going. But as I was crying and shutting myself in the bathroom crying so that my 4 or 5 year old daughter doesn't freak out, you know, why is mommy keep crying? I knew there was that part of me that was very conscious about, hey, we need to go through this. Just be conscious about what you're crying, all that stuff, because trust me, you're going to need this information later on. And who knew that that was exactly what the experience that I need in order to do what I do now as a relationship expert and helping divorced mom get back on their feet and all that stuff. You know, just like, wow, I didn't know. But so I love that you were so conscious about it. And I wanted to highlight that for the listeners, because it is true. Whatever that you're going through, no matter how bad it is, it's exactly what you need. It's not your fault, so let's get that out. And it's exactly what you need to build your next piece. So stay conscious, stay through, so that you can grab it and not have to go through it again. So one time thing, right?
I love that. I love how you expressed it with your favorite song. I don't know the year, but I kid you not, when the song Survivor by Destiny's Child, my God, I was singing that every day. I'm a survivor. songs do bring more joy into your heart. And I love your story. Yes, mine was, I'm a survivor.
Well,
and
you know,
survived.
I actually had taken a program where they taught us that when a song comes to us, it's actually our soul trying to soothe us. And so if you start paying attention to whatever it is that's going on, and then suddenly you find yourself humming a certain song, it's actually your soul soothing you and trying to communicate with you. So, you know, so you had your survivor to keep you going, and I had my, it's just 100 tears away, baby, just keep going.
I love it.
Okay, back to you. So then, and then what happened?
So
you had to
I've
give
always
up the material
had,
wealth, and then you had to
fight. I love the material wealth. And
I,
yes, and I went through the dark side of the life. And what I, and then I'm going to take you back now. I've always had a passion to empower and inspire women somehow, some way. I've always had the passion to do something good. In fact, when I was still married, I started my first women's group after 9/11, which ironically enough was a few days ago. And I brought together a group of Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Palestinian, you know, Jewish and Arab women to share about what happened after 9/11. And that was my first experience of called the Castro Valley Citizens for Middle Eastern Awareness. And that was a really profound group that we went out there and we start sharing, you know, who we are as women and who we are and how we could come together, despite of our religion, our background. But anyhow, that really stayed with me. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I want to do something to where I bring women together. But I wasn't sure how it looks like. Sometimes we have to surrender to what is. Just put the seed out there and it will manifest for us. And I did that. So right after the divorce, so I left. October 30th, 2007. On February 22nd, 2008, which is literally a few months, talk about like I didn't even have time to even heal and see what's going on. I started the first Bright Side of Life event in my family room. As I was going through the dark side, I started the bright side. And it was about 6 to 8 women that joined. They're mostly friends, people from the real estate. We were in the real estate, my former husband and I. And so a few dear cousins that love me, and I said, please come and we're going to have a gathering. I had no idea. I had no agenda. I had no plan. A friend of mine actually, you know, decided to join me and support me in this vision. And I just started by sharing gratitude, literally, like we had candles. And, of course, The Secret was out at the time. And I just took what I've learned from, you know, Esther Hicks or Marianne mm-hmm. Williamson or Deepak Chopra and Wayne Dyer, all these people that I've been reading. What are the things that we can do? And we started The Bright Side of Life. And the good news is I have our anniversary coming up on February 22nd, 2018, 10 years. So I'm really, really proud of that. So that's where it all started. But I didn't wait till I got it to the bright side of life in order for me to begin to empower, inspire people. One of the things I want to share with you ladies out there that are listening, if you have a passion to do something that's really in your heart, don't wait for the bright side of life. Look for that little light that's inside of your heart, your passion, and your vision and your mission for doing something good, and everything else will manifest and it will come into fruition. And this is the experience that I've received from me saying yes to my vision.
Let me jump in here for a second because I want to really land that point that you just said. Most people wait until they got themselves back together, they got themselves all cleaned up, figure out, solve their problem pretty shiny again before they think they could start something. But what you're really saying, and I'm totally reinforcing and I'm right there with you, is that no, you do not need to be perfect, pretty, put together to start something. In fact, your bloody messy self is perfect. Perfect. Just go for that 1% inspiration, that nudge inside that said, oh, if only I could have this, or oh, let's do that. You know, one day we'll get there. That's good enough. And just try it out and let the community, let the magic of life come in to help you and heal you along the way as you build this. So don't wait. I think there's a perfectionism that happens out there for a lot of women that stop them from doing the vulnerable things, from putting themselves out there and see, go into the unknown and see what will happen. It's like they feel like they have to be perfect and promise something.
Yeah. Sometimes fear overcomes, sometimes fear is replaced by the drive. You see? So often when I talk to women that I'm helping build community, that's the number one thing they say. I don't know if I could lead, or I'm not good enough, or I don't have enough topic, or but I have the drive, Sahar. I'm very passionate about it. I have a vision, but I don't know if I'm good enough. And it's like a, you know, it's going back and it's going, okay, a little bit, hold on a second. Like it is fear comes in and takes over their passion and their calling and their drive. And so what I invite women out there, like just like what you just said, can the drive be big enough? And the drive needs to have a big why. For me, I want to empower and inspire women, but it was my two girls. I want to be an example. I wanted to be an example for them. And I want to have a good lifestyle that I could show that mommy could do it on her own. And that she can, at the same time, being able to empower and inspire women. What a great example. Now I've raised two amazing women that are making an impact themselves by being an example. I think that's probably the best thing that I've ever done in my life. And you as a mother, you understand what I'm talking about. It's very, very important.
Hell yeah, sister.
Yeah, to follow your
vision. And I have a daughter too, you know. I'm
you do, and she's gorgeous.
I'm passionate too. Well, she's 16. She's right behind your girls, right? And it's the same thing. I didn't want to I wanted her to have options, real options in the world, to be herself, to see that she can build her career, her life work, the way she is called to do. She doesn't have to fit in any corporate box out there if she doesn't want to. And, you know, it's like, so what does it take to be a woman and
and live life on our own terms and not have to give it over to a man's agenda. But at the same time, still be loved, adored, and cherished, and letting love in and all that stuff too. So we're not just hard-ass women, you know, who are all feminists either, right? So it's this beautiful combination that you and I have been learning to live in our life so that our girls can say, you know, my badass grandmother, now mother, and now me can do this, right?
Yes. Amen. Amen. And Todd, go back to vulnerability and messy self, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I so agree with you. Sometimes we're looking to be perfect before we start the perfect. I didn't even have a website, for God's sake. I didn't have,
right.
Literally nothing. That messy self, that vulnerable self, Mevu, was the factor, get this, of why women came to the bright side of life.
Mm-hmm.
It was that a friend who came would bring two or three other friends. It was that, you know, my mentors, teachers, people in the real estate start to say, you know, you got to go. There's something so unique about Sahar and what she's sharing. Although a lot of people were saying to me, you can't be too vulnerable. You know, you can't share too much about your divorce or what you're going. And I'm going, why not? I'm just being myself. And look, people are coming. And they're coming. By eventually we had 30, 40, 50. My townhome couldn't fit anymore. People were literally, I have a picture where they're sitting partially in the bathroom, I kid you not, and in the kitchen, just so they could come and see the bright side of life. It was amazing. And before we knew it, we start having celebrity speakers coming, like Dr. John Gray, and he would share his message. And now we're at hotels, at the Marriott Hotel, with 300-400 people coming, right? And so all of that started. And guess what? I was still going through the mess. A few years later, my mom died. Do you think I just, you know, caved in and stopped the bright side of life? No. I started doing it in people's homes. The community came in. I love how you said, there is a community. When you build your own community becomes part of your really important part of your life. Women who are part of the bright side of life start opening their homes. And we start having it at their home because I couldn't afford hotels anymore. But it continues. Like, you have to rely on other people as well, and regardless of the space that you're in. So this is an adjust of what the bright side of life and how it was birthed.
And so let's slow down a little bit more, because I know your mom is really important to you, and so tell us a little bit about your mom and what does her passing mean to you?
Okay. So I want to go back to who my mom is first. I am so grateful that my soul has chosen a powerful woman as a mother. My mother was a Palestinian peace activist who was ahead of her time, not just in the Arab world. She was ahead of her time in the global world. And I've often said I'm so grateful for my dad, who is a businessman, who was pretty much left his home, the West Bank of Palestine, and went to Kuwait as a more or less maybe at, you know, in his maybe early 20s, and really start working for the Brits who were there, the British, right? They were building Kuwait at the time. And so he got really influenced by the Western world. And so when he came back home to choose my mom, who was already like a feisty, very open woman. And here's the interesting part that I really realized the other day. My mom's dad passed when she was in her mother's womb. So she grew up without a father who may have limited her to express who she is as a woman. And so her mother, who was had to be a strong woman to raise her four girls on her own, right, was her example. So she didn't know any other. So when she decided to marry my dad, and you know how it is, the souls choose each other, two people from two different worlds. You know, I kid you not, they don't even, my mom and dad are perfect, unperfect people to be married to each other.
Yes.
And so he had the open-mindedness of limiting my mom to do whatever she wanted, because he grew up without a mother, so he didn't know how a woman's supposed to be. And she was raised without a father, so how perfect is that? And so he was okay with her going and speaking on global leaders' stages, and meeting royalty and working with amazing people. Like, she worked with Dianne Feinstein, the Kabbalah Convention, Jerusalem. She was selected to go and speak, and she met Madonna there. I mean, I could tell you stories about the amazing things. She learned the Quran. We have a Christian faith. So she learned the Quran to teach it to the African-American Muslim community in San Francisco. She had the passion to change the world, to change anybody who had just come into her space. And I grew up with a mother like that. Now, she wasn't a perfect mom. She was a mom who gave birth to us, I believe, because she had a bigger vision and a bigger mission in life. And so she accomplished it. And so when she died, she could imagine the devastation of my hero no longer in my space. And I was really, I had just gotten divorced, and I really needed her support in every way. But again, things happen for a reason, Mayvu, and she died because I needed to carry on that torch and move on to that next, calling of mine. And it wasn't easy. I became so depressed. I wasn't able to work. I had to live with friends. I was homeless, me and my girls, a year after my father, who had tons of money, didn't even bother because he's just the way he is. And I just had to live with friends and family in order for me to survive. But guess what? Every single month I showed up at the Bright Side of Life because I had a vision bigger than me. And I didn't dwell. And that's when the women came and opened their homes for me.
Wow. Oh, baby. It's one thing to be, it's all the pieces that come together, right? I mean, it's like your mom passed, your strongest ally passed, and then you're homeless, and then you have two young girls, and it's just like, it all just culminates into like this big bloody mess, painful mess, and at the same time, it's so sweet and exquisite and rich, and I'm sure it was probably one of the most abundant time of your life, too, to see what shows up when you take away all that material stuff that cover us up, right? And then you really can see the real abundance of love, abundance of generosity that shows up in your life for you.
Yes. One of the most abundant times for me is knowing that my community was always there for me. My cousins were always there for me. My sister was always there for me. She still is. She's amazing, and I love her so much. You know, now my dad and I rekindled our relationship after years of me choosing not to, you know, I was hurt, obviously, of what he's done for me and the girls, knowing that he could support me financially and wasn't able to, and realized after I've done the work for me, and I want to share a story how important to do deep work of forgiveness for those who you truly have no choice but to have in your life, like family. I did a lot of NLP family constellation work, and when I did my family constellation work with my father, for those of you who know what family constellation work is, that day when I was complete, after maybe 2 years of not speaking to my dad after my mom has passed, of all the pain that I had in my heart, I've forgiven and I've let go, and I made a choice whether I want a father figure in my life, or even a dad, rather a dad than a father figure in my life, or I don't want nothing to do with him. And I chose to keep him in my life. It wasn't about me changing him. It was a choice of me wanting surrendering to who he is as he is. And now our friendship can't be even described how amazing and supportive he is, because I made the choice of accepting him fully for who he is. On my way on the bridge, it was in Marin, on my way back, he calls me. I get emotional. He tells me, I just want to tell you that I love you, that I miss you, and regardless of what happened, you're still my daughter. That's what happens when you do the work. And I just want to tell you, it just touches my heart how magical it is for us women to realize that there's so many people that could pain us out there, but if we don't do the inner work, Mayvu, we could continue choose to stay in that pain. Deepak Chopra talks about, we all have a chunk of frozen consciousness inside of us. Unless it thaws, we're walking around with saying that I am that pain.
Yeah. And, yep. And, and yep.
I mean, most people think, you know, when they see my marketing and all that stuff and they see hot life, hot love, and they just think, oh, it's hot sex, you know, she's frivolous or whatever. But they don't realize that hot stands for something, you know. The very first letter that it stands for is heal. You got to heal your, as you said, you know, the inner iceberg chunks of pain that we have. And so congratulations, honey, on healing one of the most, the core wounding, which is the wounding with our father. And so that you can make peace with men so that you can have amazing relationship going forward. Because if that wounding is still there, you're going to keep attracting men who, when it comes down to it, they're going to abandon you. And, you know, you had it in your dad, and then you had it in your ex-husband. So it's like, no more. We got it done with. We're done with that, right?
Yes. Yeah, we start attracting emotionally unavailable men, right? Because
of course.
And you're an expert at it, which is so awesome. Yeah.
Because our father was emotionally unavailable.
Yeah, father. Yep. And it's been an interesting journey. Interesting journey of adversity, ups and downs, but again, being conscious to it now when I work with my clients, whom I love dearly, and here's the thing, when you do the deeper work, and you know this more than anybody I've ever known, you've done so much work on yourself, Maeve, and I so appreciate you for that. And because I surround myself with people like you all the time who have done the work, because we are evolving and vibrating at that same level, not only are you going to be, you know, better person for other people and your family, but of course, for your clients, for God's sake, look at you. I mean, you're amazing. All the things that you've been sharing with you about how your work is evolving, the amazing people that you're working with, and the women that are saying yes to you, and the caliber of people. And I know I've done a few sessions because I'm dating, and you are just like so incredible when it comes to being in alignment. So I just want to personally say thank you for being one of my friends and being who you are, the work that you're doing, Maeve. You're amazing.
Oh, thank you so much, honey. I didn't know I'm just going to get a good plug out of today, too. That's awesome. But now let's
And I mean it from my heart.
I totally received that. Yes, absolutely. And to be recognized and seen by you, it's like, yeah, baby, I earned a star today. So we only have about 4 minutes left. So I want to grab this part about So all this stuff is working and everything, and then suddenly you're now called to your next calling, and you move to Chicago, and you're starting with something new. So tell us about that now.
Yes. My sister moved here 3.5 years ago. My daughter moved here 5 years ago. My daughter moved here 1.5 years ago, and every time I came, I felt like a sense of home here, and I loved it so much. And about 1 year ago, I made a decision that it's time for me to go to that next calling of empowering, inspiring Arab women and global women. And so now, although I still continue to foster the bright side of love in the Bay Area, I fly there quite often, I wanted to go to the next calling, and that is to go further than just the Bay Area and entrepreneur business women, but what other women that are global, that are making an impact in the world, and how can I support them? Share a message. There's going to be a platform my dear friend who's African-American and I are going to be doing. It's going to be like an online TV show, and we're going to dive in and just explore. And I want to share with you that what I learned from my journey as I was raising my girls, we were that masculine, right? I'm literally taking that masculine coat off, and I'm showing up totally as a feminine. And as people are saying to me, tell me about your plan, about your next vision, I said, a plan. I'm following the bliss. I'm following what one of my friends says, the shiny breadcrumbs. I'm following spirit and what is next for me, and I'm saying yes to it. And it's no longer about planning, but saying yes to your next calling. And that's where I'm at, because I was called to be here, and I've realized that the most Arab women in the world are here in the Midwest. So how perfect is that?
Right? It's like, who knew? It's like, oh, why am I here? That's so funny. You know, I love that, because there's only so much planning you can do. And when you do the planning, then you're attached to the outcome and all this stuff. But the universe is calling us all the time. I had the same, I didn't realize how much we're paralleling each other, because similarly at the kind of the same time, I've been called to Florida a lot. And it turns out,
I didn't know this, but the area that I'm called to around Tampa Bay and the Bay Area in Tampa, it's even called the Bay Area. It's like, here I am, I live in the Bay Area in California, and now I'm called to Florida, right? And then it's like, what? And it's every woman that I met there has been divorced or abandoned by their ex-husband, you know, and left for someone else, and they have all these heartbreak over there, and I'm like, oh my God, did I just die and go to, you know, divorced woman heaven or something? I did not do research, okay? This is kind of like, why am I here? I'm here. And so I love it. I love that you're in Chicago, and that's where the Middle Eastern women are congregating. And I can't wait to. So if you have it your way, what might you be doing with them?
Well, again, I am right now in a process of preparing the topic.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's about empowering them to be like you. There's so many women that have identity, Middle Eastern identity of who they were conditioned to believe who they are, rather than who they need to show up as who they are, the way they need to show up as who they are. And so I want to help them just remove some of these layers and help them recognize that there's a beautiful being that has not been exposed to the truth of who they are in this world. And how does it look like? Like I said, I'm just, you know, waiting for downloads. I'm waiting for inspiration. I'm just waiting, whatever it is that's supposed to show up. And the universe is literally like giving me all these amazing opportunities since I've been here to meet with Arab women without me even going and searching for them. So it's been amazing. But there's also a part of me that wants to do more global work. So we'll see which direction I'm going to be going. I could be doing both, but we'll see what will happen, what will unfold. But I just want to remind everybody out there, is it okay if I do a plug-in for our 10-year anniversary coming up?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. February 22nd, I'm doing a 10-year anniversary gala dinner. It's going to be a dinner with music and fun and dancing, and I do have opportunities for sponsorship for those who want to do sponsorships. So it's not going to be a multi-speaker event like typically have. And it's going to be 2018, and I love to have a few hundred people there. So for those of you who are on the call, if you have a calling, or please, you know, see me, come and join me on Facebook, Saharna Fall, and, you know, send me an email, saharnafall1@gmail.com. But soon you will see it. Become my friend on Facebook would be the best way, or by Meetup, the Bright Side of Life, meetup.com/thebrightsideoflife. So I would absolutely love for you to join us there.
So they can find you on Facebook under Bright Side of Life, or look
the Bright
up
Side of Life Community. Yes.
Bright Side of Life Community. And or if they want to find you personally, it's Sahar Nafal, N as in Nancy, A, F as in Frank, A as in Apple, and L as in Larry. So Sahar Nafal.
number1@gmail.com. Yes.
SaharNafal1@gmail.com. Well, you even have her phone number, her email direct. So there you go.
Yes.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And I can't wait to see what your next work will be like, and the global impact that you'll continue to reach much bigger and wider out there. I'm so excited for you, Honey Bunny. And you have been a leader, and now you're an even bigger leader and such an inspiration for all of us women. Thank you.
Thank you, Mevu, for thinking about me today. I so appreciate all the work that you do for women out there. Much love to you.
Okay. To everyone else, may you have a very bold and brave day. And if you are being bold and brave in everything that you do, please take good care of yourself and send yourself a lot of love from us, because we know what it takes to be bold and brave in the world. It's not easy. You make it look really easy, but we know it's not deep inside. So if you could use some help and support, or just even be a part of a wonderful community, global, international women, look for Bold Brave Women on Facebook. It's a closed group so that we can share more intimately with each other. But all you have to do is ask to be
to be invited, and I will invite you in. Only for women, thank you. And what else? And once you come in and you share your stories with us, I will also schedule you and put you on the radio and get your voice, get your stories out there in the world to help you, help us unite and change the world and bring our bold, brave, and badass self out there. Have a wonderful day and evening, everyone. Thanks for listening. This is Mei Vu, your host, signing out. Bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope you were touched, moved, and inspired by today's story. If you resonate with these stories and would love to tell yours, then join our Bold Brave Women Club on Facebook, facebook.com/BoldBraveWomen.